Hello, welcome to the Colcast. I am Chris Collins, your host. It is Saturday, the 12th of January, and what a week it has been in the MMA / fight world. Loads of news, an absolute shit ton of fight announcements, my God. I'm surprised all the cards, especially for the UFC, aren't fully booked until the end of March, to be honest. There's been a hell of a lot of fight announcements this week and some really meaty ones as well. So we'll be getting into them soon. But first, we'll jump straight into the news events for the week. Like I say, it's been a bumper week. A little bit of the fallout from UFC 232 still going on. And Conor McGregor's been dominating the news again this week, hasn't he? So without further ado, let's jump into it. So, big news story, or one of, for the last week. John Jones's UFC 232 fight night drug test coming back clean. Shock. It's a fight night drug test. You know it's coming. Doesn't everyone pass those, for fuck's sake? You know, he's used it as a kind of a ploy to come out in the news. Took a little bit of a sideswipe at Gus, because Gus said, you know, he was at a disadvantage in their fight at UFC 232, that John Jones was on jet fuel. I have no doubt he probably was, amongst all the other things he must be taking. But he's come out, he took a sideswipe, and then I think the words that he said was, "I wonder what my next few opponents' excuses will be." Obviously, we know now he's slated for UFC 235, the headliner on that card against Anthony Smith for the light heavyweight title. What to say about the drug tests? Apparently he passed multiple drug tests on the night. Yeah, like I say, they're all fight night drug tests. They're pretty much the drug tests that have always been in place. They're the ones that used to be in place absolutely before USADA came in anyway. And I think fighters can sort of easily pass them because you know when they're coming, don't you? So I don't think even John Jones would be stupid enough to test hot for anything on fight night, especially. You know, just linking up to what I said in the podcast last week, I'm not professing to be an expert on steroids or performance-enhancing drugs at all. You know, it might even be possible that he didn't take anything, and what all the experts and Jeff Nowitzki saying could be correct, that it's just this pulsing effect from this M3 metabolite from the oral turinabol that was found in his system. Still not, I just don't believe you. Still not buying it. A lot of people aren't buying it. Of course, he tested clean on UFC 232 fight night, but of course. So, moving swiftly on, before we spend any more time on that, I went on an absolute rant on it last week. If you want to hear what my actual thoughts on the whole John Jones debacle is, go and listen to episode 8 of the Colcast. I went into depth on the subject right at the start of that podcast, so feel free to mosey on back and have a listen. Conor McGregor, like I said at the start of the podcast, he's been dominating the headlines this week. And is there anyone that he's not rounded on? So, where to start? He, for Fares Zahabi, who many of you should know, many of you may know, the head coach at TriStar in Canada, he's trained a couple of fighters that you may have heard of. One was GSP, George St. Pierre. One was Rory McDonald. He's got a whole stable of very talented fighters up there in Canada. He came out this week talking about the hypothetical matchup between Max Holloway and Conor McGregor, and said that he thinks that Max Holloway would win that rematch. Conor didn't like it. Conor came out and pretty much ripped into Fares Zahabi, and it wasn't pretty what he said, to be honest. So I think he put this on Twitter and Instagram. I'm not sure. It was one or the other, but just got his... Let's have a look at it. It was on Twitter. So, "Hey, Fares, young man afraid to get in and fight himself? Stop talking about me like you know me, you twerp. You are what age? Why are you not in there yourself? Are you not up to it? You rent dorms and hit a clock for a living. Shut your pie, kid." Could have done that in an Irish accent, but I'd butcher it. you know, Connor, he doesn't like being criticised, does he? I don't think anyone likes being criticised anyway in life, but Connor's extremely competitive, extremely... Yeah, I think competitive is the best way to put it, to be honest. You'd have to be, wouldn't you, to achieve the greatness and success that he has in the sport. He didn't like what he said at all. I believe that Farah Sahabi's picked against Conor a few times in the past, in terms of fights that Conor's had or like hypothetical matchups that have been mentioned in the news and whatever. But yeah, Conor didn't like it, ripped into Farah's. Farah's responded pretty much this week saying, like, you know, it's not personal, it's just my opinion. I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, Conor didn't like it, and Farah Sahabi seems to be the first one that he ran on this week. After that, it was a thinly veiled swipe at Khabib Nurmagomedov in a post that was aimed at Paulie Malignaggi. He was talking about, in this post that he put up, about Paulie Malignaggi being a bit upset still from everything that went on in the lead up to the Floyd Mayweather bonanza. They call it a debacle now. It wasn't really a debacle. It was a great show at the time. There was a lot of media attention around the fight, and there was obviously a lot of media attention around the fact that Paulie Malignaggi flew into Conor's camp to specifically help Conor to prepare for Floyd Mayweather, and it just ended up being a bit of a shit show. So, yeah, he rounded on Paulie Malignaggi on social media, pretty much called him a bitch, told him that he needs to stop bitching, and then mentioned Khabib in there, saying that Khabib was, quote, bitching in the fourth round from mount position. So, yeah, thinly veiled swipe at Khabib, mainly aimed at Paulie Malignaggi, but then Khabib responded this week, pretty much saying that Conor is a tap machine, and posting the very famous picture, now very famous picture, of Conor tapping to Khabib in the fourth round of their fight earlier last year, saying, "You will have to live with this shame for the rest of your life." Ouch. Obviously, unfinished business there between Khabib and Conor. There's been a few rumours going around saying that Khabib's next fight will actually be Conor. Again, the podcast last week, I addressed my thoughts on that. Although I'd love to see that fight. A lot of people would love to see that fight. Tony Ferguson should obviously be the one who's next. But there's no doubt in my mind Conor and Khabib's going to happen. Probably in 2019, but it'll almost certainly happen in the future. It's too big a fight not to book, especially for the UFC. So, yeah, Conor keeping himself busy in the news this week. Again, ouch, Khabib. Nails out, claws out. Sassy. Next news story, Colby Covington. So, where to start with this? Colby Covington is not Dana White's best friend at the moment. It's probably the understatement of the century. So, Colby Covington's pretty much calling out Dana White at the moment because Dana White and the UFC decided to book Kamaru Usman to fight Tyron Woodley at UFC 235, the co-main event on that card. I will, when we go through fight announcements a bit later in the podcast, we'll go into that fight in a little bit more detail. But yeah, Colby Covington, he's not happy. I can sympathise with him. You know, he was promised a title fight. He's obviously not got it. The UFC seemed to take umbrage with him when he won his last fight against RDA and decided that he needed a little bit of break. I believe he had an injury of some sort at the time and didn't want to go and go straight into a camp to face Tyron Woodley. Obviously, that fight ended up going to Darren Till in what was a very impressive title defence by Tyron Woodley. But, you know, Colby, Dana White, there seems to be no love lost with them at the moment. So he came out on an interview last week. Earlier this week, sorry, I apologise. Came out on an interview saying, Dana White's out in the media saying, Colby's not taking these fights. We don't allow that in the UFC. He can go fight somewhere else. So what I'm saying is, okay, Dana, let's see if you're a man of your balls. Let's see if you're a man of your word. Let's see if you can stick to what you say. You said you don't allow that in the UFC. All right, I'm testing you, motherfucker. Let's see how big your balls are. Release me, bitch. He's not going to be released. He's too big. I don't know if a star is too far but he's very much been a polarising figure in the UFC over the past 12 months. Obviously, with the amount of shit talking that he's been coming out with, and the fact that he's just been a lot more vocal in fights and on social media too, calling out opponents. And, you know, he's been backing it up in the cage. He's picked up some very, very good wins in the last year or so. He won the interim title against, I forgot what it was called then, interim title. I couldn't think of that word for the life of me. He won the interim title against Rafael Dos Anjos. Very impressive performance. I, for one, thought that Rafael Dos Anjos was going to beat Colby Covington. He surprised me. His gas tank is ridiculously insane. He just put a pace on RDA that RDA just couldn't keep up with, and used his size and his strength as well very, very well in that fight. He should be the next in line, really. It's probably the fight that everyone wants to see as well, just because of the hatred that seems to be simmering between Colby and Tyron. Tyron really does seem to hate Colby Covington. Whether Colby hates him back, I don't know. I don't know how much of it's just marketing, him trying to talk his way into a title fight, and how much of it is genuine. I suspect it's a lot more of the former, but it should have been the next fight. It should have been. Kamaru Usman, not to say Kamaru Usman's not a deserving title challenger, but, you know, Colby's the fight that we all want to see, really, isn't it? He's got the drama attached to it as well. So Colby's not happy. Remains to be seen what's going to happen with him this week, or in the future, to be honest. Dana White, I don't think, has come out and made a comment on it yet, but we'll see what happens with Colby Covington, eh? So the next news story, where to start? Let's go over Wonderboy and Anthony Pettis. So Wonderboy and Anthony Pettis, short one this, called each other out pretty much on social media this week. Very polite call out of each other, saying, you know, let's do this at welterweight. Great fight. Why not book it? You know, good fight for Wonderboy at this point in his career. Pettis he's fallen on hard times in the last few years. He's been trying to reinvent himself. He had to drop down to 145 after a bit of a rough run after losing his title at 155 against Rafael Dos Anjos, who we were just talking about a moment ago. And he's just trying to reinvent himself, isn't he? So, you know, I mentioned it a bit with Gustafsson and Luke Rockhold in last week's podcast. You never know what fighters are going to look like when they go up and down a weight class. Sometimes it's a bad move. Sometimes it reinvents fighters' careers. Pettis and Wonderboy at 170. Sounds like a great fight and a great idea. They both want it to happen. Book it. Why not? Pollyanna Viana, the UFC strawweight, was in the news this week. A lot of you may never have heard of Pollyanna Viana. I've certainly not heard much about her, but she was a hero this week. She was in her native country, Brazil. She was sat down on a bench, I believe, and a very unsavoury character tried to come up and steal her phone. Long story short, she beat the fuck out of him. The pictures are online. They're available. I don't know what you'd have to Google to find them, but if you put Pollyanna Viana into Google, your search engine of your choice at the moment, you'll no doubt find pictures of the would-be assailant. He was just fucked up, basically, and that's what you get for, one, being an arsehole, and two, trying to pick a fight with a UFC fighter. There you go. Well done to Pollyanna Viana. I can't even imagine, you know, you get a lot of bravado with, especially with lads, don't you, where they're like, oh, God, if someone tried to come up to me and steal things from me, I'd fucking knock them out and do this and do that. Well, she's lived it, and she actually believed and did it, and it takes a lot of balls to do that, because it must have been frightening, no matter how much martial arts training you've done. So props to her. Glad she's safe. Glad that guy's in, hopefully, prison now. And we can all move on with our lives. The world goes on. Rafael Lovato has been pulled from Bellator 214. So a few weeks ago, it came out in the news that Gegard Mousasi had picked up an injury, so their middleweight title fight was scrapped. Bellator couldn't find a replacement to face Lovato on short notice, so he's been pulled from the card. So that card will now go ahead with, the Fedor and Bader fight for the heavyweight title. That'll be the conclusion of the heavyweight Grand Prix in Bellator. And the new co-main event is Henry Corrales versus Aaron Pico. Not a bad fight to replace that fight as the co-main event. So that event will march on. I'm sure it'll do great numbers. Two fantastic fights topping that bill. So, unlucky for Lovato. I'm sure that Bellator will look to rebook that in the future once there's a clearer guideline on how long Musasi is going to be out. So, quick recovery, hopefully, for Gegard Mousasi. Rafael Lovato shouldn't be on the shelf for too long. Anderson Silva. Ugh. Anderson Silva's come out this week and said that he wants the UFC to reconsider its stance towards TRT. So, TRT, for those of you who don't know, testosterone replacement therapy. There was a time in the UFC, I want to say from like 2012 to about 2014. I think it was banned in 2014. And it was allowed for a little bit for fighters who had a problem producing testosterone naturally. And as a result of that, you got fighters who do what they do best to try and gain any sort of advantage that they possibly can. And they took TRT and ran a fucking mile with it when it should have been an inch. The biggest example is probably Vitor Belfort, otherwise known during his phase in 2012 to 2014 as TRT Tour. Vitor Belfort absolutely built like a brick shithouse, wheel kicking Luke Rockhold nearly to death, nearly blinding Michael Bisping. He kicked him that hard, kicked Dan Henderson that hard that he lifted him off the ground. Go back and watch that fight with Vitor Belfort and Dan Henderson. He kicked Dan Henderson in the head that hard, his legs left the ground. That's how much testosterone was running through Vitor Belfort back then. He was an animal. And obviously it's not him, he was just a poster boy for it. There was a few fighters who were dabbling with TRT, let's say, and it was obviously banned because people were just taking the piss. But now, Silva's come out, Anderson Silva, at the ripe old age of 41, I think he is now. Got his fight coming up against Israel Adesanya. And he came out this week and said, there are some athletes who need to make use of the hormonal replacement. I think if USADA regulated that, we'd have to sport at a high level with athletes who have stopped fighting. Vitor, for example. Even me, though I never had the replacement, but some athletes who really need it, who are older, Dan Henderson, and many other athletes who have stopped because of this. You just hit the nail on the head, Anderson. When you get older and your body stops producing testosterone, stop fighting. Just stop. It's time to retire. If you can't keep up with the sport anymore, you can't keep up with training, you're getting bad results in fights, you feel like you're not recovering as much, you feel like you're not as strong as you used to be, you feel like you're not, your body's not following what your brain's trying to tell it to do, it's time to stop. It's called father time. It happens to us all. We all get older. I don't know what you think TRT is going to do for you. He's definitely not going to bring back the noughties, Anderson Silva. You know, the one who was running roughshod through the middleweight division for years and years and years. I just don't know what he's even trying to get out of coming out in an interview and saying this, especially when he's popped for steroids in the past and then proclaimed his innocence. And now he's coming out and saying that he wants TRT to be regulated by USADA. Very strange. So I think that's the best thing I could say about that, to be honest. I don't know what he's thinking. Really bizarre interview. It's not the first time Anderson Silva said some bizarre things, I must admit, but this is pretty much, it's got to be up there, hasn't it, top of the list. Moving on. Jason Knight, last big news story for this week. Jason Knight's been cut from the UFC. Jason Knight, bit of a fan favourite. I certainly love watching him fight, but he's had a bit of a rough run recently. Lost his UFC debut against Kawajiri, went on a big run after that, and then ran into Ricardo Lamas, got finished by Ricardo Lamas, and it pretty much went downhill from there. So, understandably, usually it's three or four fights, especially for the bigger stars in the UFC. Gets three or four fights and if you've lost three or four in a row, it's tough for them to keep you around. So Jason Knight's a free agent. I'm sure one of the other big promotions will snap him up, whether it's One Championship or Bellator. I would expect him to sign up to one of those, to be honest. Although there has been a rumour circulating that he might jump over to Ryzen, who knows. But yeah, Jason Knight's not going to struggle to find work. He's a very popular fighter, a very entertaining fighter, very talented, to be honest. Just ran into a bit of a hard time, a bit of a hard run in the UFC, a couple of tough fights, and he just needs to gain his confidence back somewhere else, I think. So good luck to Jason Knight in the future. So, fight announcements. Upcoming fights, like I said at the start of the podcast, has been absolutely tons announced over the past few days, especially. So, might as well just jump straight into them, to be honest. One of the bigger ones that's been mentioned in the last week, obviously, a couple of short notice changes for the fight that's happening on ESPN. The debut card on ESPN. Big deal that was signed by the UFC and ESPN not so long ago. Obviously, that card's been headlined by the flyweight title fight between Henry Cejudo and TJ Dillashaw. TJ Dillashaw going for his second belt. Obviously, he's already the bantamweight champion. He's trying to become the latest champ and win the flyweight title as well. John Lineker was ruled out through injury not so long ago. It was an undisclosed injury. I'm not sure what was wrong with him. But Mario Bautista has been put into that fight as his replacement, and he will now be facing Corey Sandhagen. Mario Bautista, he's 6-0. He's finished all his fights. His last fight was a decision against Juan Pablo Gonzalez. And he's got a tough ask, to be honest, against Corey Sandhagen. Corey Sandhagen, former RFA and LFA standout, you know, he looked very, very good in his last performance against Yuri Alcantara. Obviously, Yuri Alcantara has been around in the UFC for a long, long time. Very, very savvy vet, and knocked him out in the second round. He's 2-0 in the UFC now. He should win that fight, to be honest. I'm going to record another podcast in the middle of the week next week, breaking down, analysing all of the fights for the card next weekend. But so I'll get into it a bit more in detail then. But Corey Sandhagen should win that fight, and I think he should win it comfortably, to be honest. The other short notice change was Ion Cutelaba, my Brazilian pronunciation is awful, I apologise. But he is also out. He was also injured, so he was out of his fight with Glover Teixeira. Carl Robertson will be taking his place. Carl Robertson coming off a very dominant decision win against Jack Marshman. Before that, Was he submitted? Yes, he was submitted against Cesar Ferreira, Mutanch. And that's his only loss, to be honest. His win before that, he beat Darren the Dentist Stewart. Obviously, Darren the Dentist Stewart's had, I think he's, in my opinion, a very, very good run, the Brit in the UFC so far. He's picked up a couple of very impressive wins, at least. So, Carl Robinson, bit of a Brit killer. He'll be facing an facing Glover Teixeira on short notice, stepping in there. Carl Robinson, former kickboxer, got very good stand-up. It's a big ask, though, against Glover Teixeira. But it depends. Again, I'll analyse this a bit more in detail next week. But Glover, he's lost in the UFC. He lost to John Jones for the title. He lost to Phil Davis, Mr. Wonderful Phil Davis, who is one of the best light heavyweights in the world. He lost to Gustafsson, obviously one of the best light heavyweights in the world. Lost to Anthony Johnson, used to be one of the best light heavyweights in the world. But his last fight, he lost against Corey Anderson. Now, that could be one or the other. Corey Anderson won again last weekend against Ilya Latifi. He's obviously been spoken about as a title challenger for John Jones in this next year. Is the loss to Corey Anderson the fact that Corey Anderson has just been getting much, much better and is finally coming to his own? Or is it a sign that Glover Teixeira is slowing down? You know, he is bobbing on now. He's pushing 40. It's the only sort of way in for Carl Robinson that I can see. But to be honest, it should be, again, another dominant win for Glover Teixeira. If he doesn't finish Carl Robinson, I think it'll be a very dominant decision. I can see Glover just using his very, very good underrated wrestling, to be honest, and taking him down and submitting him. But yeah, we'll have a look at that in a bit more detail. I've gone into it in loads of detail already, but we'll have a look at that in a bit more detail next week. I apologise, guys. I just get excited about fights. Next one, big one for UFC 235. Mentioned it briefly before, but Tyron Woodley will be facing Kamaru Usman for the welterweight title at UFC 235. Now, here's the thing I don't get. Kamaru Usman, Tyron Woodley, as far as I've seen, is a favourite, but barely. Eh? Am I looking at the same Tyron Woodley and Kamaru Usman as everyone else? Because I know Kamaru Usman has been on a tear. I know he's been undefeated in the UFC. But this is Tyron Woodley we're talking about. Everything that Kamaru Usman does, Tyron Woodley does better. His jiu-jitsu's, in my opinion, better. His wrestling for MMA, better. His striking, much, much better. More power, more speed. Tyron Woodley's so fast, it is fucking frightening. The one I always think about, or the two actually, the way he lunged at Jay Heron early on in his UFC career and knocked him out was fucking frightening. And Carlos Condit, the way he'd be so out of range against Carlos Condit in their fight, and then all of a sudden he's smacking Condit in the face, and you're looking at the screen thinking, how the fuck did he get from there to there so quick? He's frightening. He's the perfect example of a superior athlete who just happens to be a fantastic martial artist and fighter as well. I just don't see a way that Usman wins the fight. But there you go. That's what came out with that this week. The odds are very close. I don't see it, to be honest. I think Tyron Woodley wins that one comfortably. Other fights that have been, to be honest, let's have a bit of a closer look at UFC 235. So if I just pull up the fight here. Right, so, okay, here we go. So you've got John Jones and Anthony Smith at the top of the card. Great fight. You've got Tyron Woodley and Kamaru Usman. Robbie Lawler and Ben Askren is on that fight. What a fight that is. I mean, that was supposed to be the headliner for UFC 234, I think, before whatever. I can't remember what it was that happened with UFC 234. Some sort of mess up and it got scrapped. But that's a fantastic fight. Ben Askren, you know, has been in the news again this week, winding people up. Mainly Colby Covington, when he turned around about Colby saying that he doesn't trust Dana White. And Ben Askren was like, yeah, no shit. Did you think that you were going to get a title shot just because Dana said you were going to get a title shot? Love Ben Askren. Jeremy Stephens and Zabit Magomedsharipov. That is a hell of a fight. It's a step up that Zabit needs. It's a step up that we all need to see that he's legit or whether he's not. Jeremy Stephens, you know, is very much gatekeeper at featherweight. You beat Jeremy Stephens, it's on to better things, isn't it? Bigger and brighter things at the top of that division. If you get beat by Jeremy Stephens, well, you know, Jeremy Stephens is one of the best at 145. Holly Holm and Aspen Ladd's on that card. That's a great fight. You've got Ovince St. Preux and Misha Sakunov. That's a solid light heavyweight fight. Ticio Torres is fighting on the card. Cody Garbrandt and Pedro Munhoz. That's a fantastic fight. Thomas Almeida and Marlon Vera. That's going to be fireworks. UFC 235, set aside the date for that in your calendar because that card is ridiculous. We've also got the hero of the hour, Pollyanna Viana, fighting on that card against Hannah Seifers. Hannah Seifers picking up a very impressive win not so long ago in what I think was her UFC debut. So that's another interesting fight with a bit of publicity around it because of Pollyanna's antics this week. Great card, absolutely great card. But yeah, just to go back to your original point, Tyron Woodley being a close favourite over Usman, don't get it. Eric Silva is going to be making his Bellator debut at Bellator 216. That is the Michael Page and Paul Daly fight. He'll be making his debut against Yaroslav Amosov. Amosov is 20-0. He's very, very scary. He's finished 17 out of his 20 wins. His last win was against Gerald Harris. Many of you, or a few of you may remember Gerald Harris, he, former UFC vet. He's been there, he's done it, he knows all the tricks of the trade. Very savvy vet, much like, you know, Ayori Alcantara that we were speaking about a minute ago. Picked up a decision win against Gerald Harris. I think that's a very good win. I think a win against Harris, especially in the fashion that Amosov did it, is a very good win. But he's got Eric Silva, and it depends what Eric Silva turns up. Now, Eric Silva's a fascinating one, because he's one of the fighters that mysteriously dropped off in terms of performances when USADA came in to the UFC in 2014. He went 1-4 in the UFC before he got cut. He has picked up a win since then. He picked up a win at LFA 45 against Nick Barnes. He submitted him in the first round. So this is Bellator debut. It depends what Eric Silva you get. Basically, is it going to be the explosive, scary killer Eric Silva, or is it going to be the not so dangerous, not very scary at all Eric Silva that we've seen more often than not recently? Don't know, but I would imagine that Amosov would be a heavy favourite in that fight. Daniel Taymor and Chris Fishgold have been booked for UFC Prague. That's at the end of February, I think. Daniel Taymor is the brother of David Taymor, who is a standout in the UFC at the moment. He has lost his last two. He's not looked very good in the UFC. His last fight especially, he got submitted. Chris Fishgold, obviously, is one of our standouts here in the UK. He was the champion at Cage Warriors. He moved over to the UFC. He had a very, very tough ask in his UFC debut against Calvin Kattar. He looked very good in that fight, actually, I thought, before he was clipped and knocked out. But I would imagine Chris would be the favourite in this fight. I'm not going to back anyone but my fellow countrymen for this. I think Chris Fishgold will get that done, and I think he'll finish Daniel Taymor, to be honest. Another fight that's been slated for that card is Petr Yan versus John Dodson. Petr Yan has Petr Yan's an interesting one, actually, because he's actually been very, very good in the UFC. He's beaten Taruto Ishihara and Douglas Silva de Andrade by knockout. He got a decision win sandwiched in between there as well, but it's a big step up against John Dodson. And I know the caveat that you could pick out is that John Dodson's been a bit neither here nor there since he's gone back up to 135. I would say he is undersized for the division, to be honest. But you've got to look at who he's beaten and who he's lost to. So his wins, Manny Gamborian, you know, another savvy vet, very, very talented. That was a good win. Eddie Wineland's, again, one of those, been there, done it, very dangerous. No matter what kind of Eddie Wineland you get. Pedro Munhoz, who's getting a big step up against Cody Garbrandt soon at UFC 235. That was a good win for him. His losses, Marlon Moraes, who is literally right there in terms of title contention. All he needs to do is get through Rafael Assunção in their rematch that's coming up soon. Jimmy Rivera, who, you know, is there or thereabouts for title contention. And John Lineker in a fight that I don't think Dodson lost. I think Dodson won that fight. It was a very, very close fight. I think it's just a bit too much too soon for Petr Yan. I think to go from the competition that he's beaten to jump up to John Dodson is too much. And John Dodson should win that one, to be honest. Speaking of Daniel Taymor before, his brother David will be fighting soon. He'll be fighting Charles Oliveira. That is on ESPN Plus 2. That is the Assunção Moraes 2 fight. David Taymor has been, he's quietly been racking up wins, you know. 5-0 in the UFC so far. His last wins especially, he looked very good against Lando Venata. He looked very good against Draka Close. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Sorry if I've just butchered that. And a win against Nick Lentz is good. Very, very good. Nick Lentz has always been underrated for me. Just because of his style, he doesn't get across, he didn't get across very positively to a lot of fans. But Nick Lentz is very, very talented. And it was a good win for David Taymor. Charles Oliveira is an interesting one, because you don't know what you're going to get, really. But if it's anything like he looked in his last fight, Jim Miller, I think it was 75 seconds, choked him out. He has the most submission wins in UFC history now. you kind of know what the game plan is. Charles Oliveira, I wouldn't bother going to the ground with him. He's obviously very, very dangerous. That's his key to victory in every fight. Not to say that his striking's not nasty. He's got some nasty striking, Charles Oliveira, and he has used that to his advantage in quite a few of his UFC wins. But David Taymor is obviously a standout in the striking department. If he can keep it standing, it should be, I would imagine it'd be a good decision win for David Taymor, and he'd be 6-0 at that point, and you know he's knocking on the door for contention then. But I wouldn't be surprised if Charles Oliveira got him down and submitted him either. It's one of those fights. It's going to go one way or the other. Not to be non-committal on anything. It's a toss-up, isn't it, really? You don't know how that's going to go. But good fight. Very, very good fight booked for that card. Other fights coming up in March. We have Carolina Kowalkiewicz against Michelle Waterson. That's a fantastic fight. Bit of a crossroads fight, to be honest, for both of them. So Carolina Kowalkiewicz was working her way back to title contention when she got hit by the most nasty punch I've ever seen, particularly in the women's divisions, by Jessica Andrade. Jessica Andrade in that fight, the way she knocked out Carolina Kowalkiewicz, it only supports my theory that there should be three levels of knockout. There should be a TKO, there should be a KO, and there should be a KTFO, because she got knocked the fuck out. Dead. Cold. Waterson, on the other hand, has been quietly picking herself back up and climbing the ranks. She's picked up good wins against Felice Herrig and Courtney Casey. So it's one of them. Again, it's another pick and fight. Carolina Kowalkiewicz is very, very talented, as is Michelle Waterson. I think the thing that's going to be the telling factor in this fight is just a size advantage for Carolina. Carolina should be a little bit bigger. Michelle Waterson, I think, in my opinion, has always been very undersized for the division. She's got a very, very high level of skill and talent, which is obviously carried her through and ensured that she's picked up some good wins in the division, but it should come down to that in the end. Carolina Kowalkiewicz, she's got the skill and she's got the size advantage on her as well. And she's very strong, Carolina, as well. She's a lot stronger than she looks. But it should be a very, very good fight, to be honest. A bit of a crossroads fight. If Carolina was to lose that, probably the last time you'll ever see her mentioned in any sort of title contention conversation. Whereas on the other hand, for Michelle Waterson, that is the key win that she needs to try and lobby for her case for a title shot. So great fight, looking forward to that. That's on March the 20th in Philadelphia on the Philly card. Couple of fight announcements, or a few fight announcements for ESPN Plus 4. That is the Junior Dos Santos, Derek Lewis fight. You've got Big Ben Rothwell against Blagoy Ivanov. I think that's how you pronounce that. Sorry, I'm terrible at pronunciations. Big Ben Rothwell, I've not seen him for a while. He's been banned for some sort of exogenous steroid. Before that, he was on a bit of a tear before he ran into the headliner, JDS. JDS pretty much beaten from pillar to post in a very dominant decision. Pretty much the way that Ivanov's last fight went against JDS, he was beaten very dominantly. Good fight, to be honest. Very, very even fight. I'm not too sure what's going to happen in that. Ivanov, obviously former Bellator standout, nearly won the title in Bellator before he was beaten in his only other loss in his career against Alexander Volkov for the Bellator title. Won the PFL title back when it was World Series of Fighting. You know, he's highly skilled, he's highly dangerous. Very, very good heavyweight. But so's Ben Rothwell. So's Ben Rothwell, and he proved that in his run before he ran into JDS, so we'll see. Good fight. Beneil Dariush and Drew Dober's been put onto that fight card as well. Beneil Dariush, super, super talented guy. Ran into a bit of tough luck before he picked up a win in his last outing. He gets Drew Dober now. Drew Dober was flip-flopping for the longest time, and he's won quite a few of his last few fights now. So he's on a good run. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. Drew Dober, I think his best key to victory in this fight is to see what other opponents have done to Dariush before him, trying to go for that knockout. Dariush, I just think he has too many tools to win. It should be a Dariush victory, to be honest. I'd imagine Dariush should be the favourite, but we'll see when that fight comes around. Anthony Rocco Martin and Sergio Moraes has been announced for that card. That's a good fight. The other one that's been announced is Omari Akhmadov against Tim Boach. Tim Boach making his return. He's run into a bit of tough luck over the last few years. His last fight, he did not look good at all, submitted against Antonio Carlos Jr. He's coming up against Akhmadov, and Akhmadov's in a bit of form, to be honest. He's picked up a couple of wins. He had a draw in his last fight against Vettori, majority draw. I think he shaded that fight, but it's a tough one for Boach, and this could be the one that makes the UFC make the decision to cut him, to be honest. He's been sort of languishing in no man's land for the longest time now, in middleweight / light heavyweight, and it could be a tough one if he gets beat by Akhmadov. Not to say that Akhmadov's not highly talented. It's just if Tim Boach wants to stick around, this is one that he's really going to have to win, I think. Last big fight announcement, and save one of the best for last. Rose Namajunas will defend her strawweight title against Jessica Andrade at UFC 237 in Brazil. That is in May, that card, so it's a few months down the line. And this is another one. It's a bit similar to Tyron Woodley and Kamaru Usman fight in terms of the odds. Very, very close. A lot of people actually picking Jessica Andrade over Rose. I don't understand why. I think Rose is going to... She's going to probably follow the blueprint that Joanna Jędrzejczyk set when Joanna beat Andrade. And that was a very comfortable fight for Joanna. She looked very, very good in that fight. She used superior foot movement, superior head movement. She stayed out of trouble, got her combinations off. And, you know, Jessica Andrade in the end was just swinging for the fences, wasn't she? Just trying to knock Jędrzejczyk out. I think she's going to be doing the same with Namajunas. Namajunas has got, you know, what Jędrzejczyk's got and more. She's very dangerous on the feet. She's very dangerous on the ground. There's not an area, you know, you could say that Andrade has any sort of advantage over Rose, to be honest. Obviously, apart from the power department, Andrade hits like Anthony Johnson. You saw that in the Kowalkiewicz fight I mentioned a minute ago. If you've not seen that, one, where have you been? What cave have you been living in? Two, Google it now. Go on YouTube and watch it now. You'll make a noise. As soon as she lands that punch, you'll make a noise like this. Oh, shit! It's that sort of knockout. You'll look at the screen in horror. It was, as much of a fight fan as you might be, it was not easy to watch that one. But yeah, Andrade, the power, that's where she's got her main advantage. But Rose is better everywhere else, I think. And I don't think that one's going to be particularly close. So, who knows? We'll see it in May anyway. It's a great fight. Obviously, it was the logical next fight for both women. So, looking forward to seeing that in May. And that pretty much wraps up this week's episode. That many news stories, that many fight announcements. We've probably pretty much pushed an hour now. Next week, we will get into the breakdown of the upcoming fights on the weekend after this. So that'll obviously be the big UFC card that's coming up, the ESPN debut. That's got TJ Dillashaw and Henry Cejudo headlining that card. And ONE Championship makes its return next weekend as well. You've got a strawweight world championship fight headlining that card. You've got Joshua Pacquiao from the Philippines defending his title against the Japanese fighter Yusuke Saruta. And there's a couple of good, interesting fights on that card as well, including a appearance from one of our own, the UK's own Jonathan Haggerty, who'll be fighting on that card in the Super Series, the Muay Thai Super Series. He'll be fighting Joseph Lasiri. So I'll be analysing that card. I'll be analysing the UFC card coming up as well. And it should be a good weekend of fights next week. And that is pretty much that. Very much enjoyed this podcast. Loads of good fights coming up. We'll see what goes on with the new stories as well. If there's going to be any more fallout from what Conor McGregor's been up to this week. His mouth getting him into a little bit of trouble. John Jones, any more fallout from what's going on from the drug tests, hashtag picogramgate, and everything else that's going on in the news as well. I'm sure we'll have tons more news stories coming up for next week that I will also dig deeper into, and any other fight announcements as per as well. The only other thing I've got to say is we'll obviously break down the boxing next weekend as well. You got the big fight, you got Broner and Pacquiao coming up, so we'll take a look at that as well, and a couple of fights on that card. That'll be an excellent fight. Very intriguing, clash of styles. Both in the boxing ring, in and out of the boxing ring. Obviously, Broner's been getting himself into a little bit of trouble outside of the squared circle. We'll delve into that a little bit as well. But on what you know impact that might have on the fight. To be honest, it's big. He's landed himself in some pretty big trouble recently. Adrian Broner seems to be a very troubled individual. So we'll try and scratch the surface on that next week as well, and a couple of fights on that undercard. So big weekend coming up next weekend. Looking forward to recording the podcast. May even be able to get a special guest or two on the podcast with me. When I say special guest, I mean one of the crazy people that decided to be friends with me, who are also as passionate about mixed martial arts and fighting as I am. Get a couple of different opinions. It'd be good to finally get a guest on the podcast, someone just to bounce back my crazy thoughts off and get a bit of an extra dynamic on the podcast too. So we'll see if we can make that finally happen next week too. Thank you for tuning in. Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Facebook, we've now changed the name. It was Cole's Conclusions. The page is now called The Colecast. We are known as The Colecast on Twitter and Instagram. So Colecast across the board, at @THECOLLCAST. Please follow, please like and share all of the content that I'm posting. That would be very much appreciated. And most importantly, please tune into the podcast. It is available on all the major podcasting platforms. So Apple, Google, Spotify, Anchor, so on and so forth. Whatever your podcasting platform of preference is, get on there, search for The Colecast, and you will find me. Give me a listen, and most importantly, tell me what you think, what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear, what I'm doing well, what I'm not doing well. All feedback that I've received so far, positive and negative, has been massively appreciated, and it's just allowed me to make this a little bit better as I've gone along. I think it's a lot better now than it was in episode one. And that's thanks to the feedback that I've got off all of you listening to the podcast. So it is very much appreciated. So that is that. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Colecast. I'll speak to you soon.